also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, the blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said to him, "Call him over." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What if Jesus asked you the same question he asked Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do for you? We heard several weeks ago in our reading from the Old Testament scripture how King Solomon had a dream where he heard God asking him, "Ask anything you want and I will give it to you." And King Solomon asked for the gift of wisdom so that he would be a good ruler for his people. He was concerned not just for himself, but for others. And God was so pleased with what Solomon asked for that he gave him not only wisdom, but he gave him many other gifts as well. Blind Bartimaeus, though he was physically blind, had spiritual insight. He was able to recognize Jesus. In response to Jesus' question to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" he answers, "Master, I want to see." I wonder what would happen in our lives if we replied to Jesus in the same way. Even though we might not be physically blind, are we blind in other ways? If we ask Jesus to help us to see, what might we see that we miss now? What might we see in ourselves? Perhaps there are some talents that God gave us that we just never really developed. Maybe we might see that God wants us to develop them so that we could share them like Solomon with others. Perhaps we might see some things in ourselves that we don't like, that maybe we've been trying not to see. We'd call it denial. Maybe some of the stuff we do too much of, overeating, overdrinking, or maybe it might be some of the stuff we don't do enough, overexercising. Maybe we would see that where we say our values are, our time isn't quite there. Maybe we see that we say that our relationships are very important, the most important thing in our life. God is very important. Church is important. But then we look and see where our time is and say, maybe that's not where I'm investing. There's a powerful prayer, but you need a lot of courage to pray this prayer. Because I find this the prayer that gets answered the quickest out of all the prayers I ever asked for. And it goes simply, "Lord, show me my sins." I always add a little parenthesis on the end, but just show them to me one at a time. Because really, the only way we can deal with what we need to deal with is if we honestly see it. If our eyes were open, might we see our world a little differently? Might we see the beauty around us? I need to remind myself, when we first moved to Florida, I just was always so struck with how wonderful it was. Blue skies most days. But now after being here for a number of years, I'm starting to take Florida for granted. You know, another sunny day, huh? Do we see God in the creation around us? Do we see God in our prayer? Especially our prayer when we come together as a community where two or more gather in the Lord's name. Would we be able to see Christ more clearly in the celebration of the Eucharist, in his real presence here with us, and in the body of Christ also, the larger body of Christ that gathers here, and in the body of Christ out there in the world? Jesus said, to see me, look for me in the least. How often do we miss Jesus in the least, in the poor, in the underprivileged? Who are the invisible people that we don't see? We see many people in our social concerns ministry, people who are in need, financial need. Over 7,200 families in the past year. And a number of these families have said, you know what? I never thought we would be one of them, that we would need to be asking for help. But how many of us, basically a couple of paychecks away from being one of them, the invisible? Them is us, if we only had the eyes to see. We have many invisible people in our culture, the immigrant workers who pick our crops, who clean our hotels and our Walmarts. There was a college professor gave an interesting test to his students one day, students who want to learn about the world and become more aware, and he put this one question in there. He said, what is the name of the person who cleans your dormitory? Did you even notice who that person is? There are many folks who become invisible in our culture, people who were very active in social life but then become widowed or singled or divorced and all of a sudden aren't invited out. Our new parishioners who come to church who aren't invited over to coffee and donuts. We don't know their names. Bartimaeus, after he received the gift of sight, he became a follower of Jesus. He followed the way of Jesus. And that's what we are doing. We are followers of the way from the moment of our baptism. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? To live with sight. We use the phrase in the church, stewardship, being good stewards of what God has given us. Because one of the deepest spiritual insights we could ever have is to realize whatever we have, we don't own. We only take care of for a while. We're stewards of the master's treasure, whether it's treasure, money, or whether it's talents that God has given us, or even time. We were very fortunate last night. We got an extra hour of time, and it's good to see the people who remember to set their clocks back. The people who will be coming in about a half an hour will know they're the ones who forgot. But we're given a gift of an extra hour of life. How do we use it? But every day, think about it. We're given a gift of 24 additional hours. Who knows how many more 24 hours will be given? Whatever age we are, we had a funeral here of an 18-year-old yesterday. We never know the day or the hour, how many are entrusted to us. Today, we'd just like to focus a bit on how we share the time and talent. We'll look at treasure later. It's been said, whatever talents we have are God's gift to us. What we do with them are our gift back to God. How are we giving back? Last week, a lot of you gave back. We had our appeal for our festival, and it was a very great response. That's one weekend out of the year, but you know, we have to keep this place running 52 weeks a year. And really, the only way that Ascension runs is through the hundreds of people who have responded with your time and your talent, as well as your financial contributions. In your pews, there are green forms. They should be towards the end. If you could just pass these down, and there are pencils also. You can't find, we have some more in the back of church in the vestibule. If you don't have them in your pew, you could get them after Mass. But this is a time and talent sheet. When new parishioners register, they have something like this, and we ask them to get involved in the parish. What we're just going to ask you to do now, and for whatever time it takes you, to pray for the gift of God from God, the gift to hear, the gift of discernment. What might God be calling you to? Now, we're not asking you to, if you're already in something, you're already one of those hundreds of people doing something, you don't need to check off what you're already in. But if you're feeling that God might be nudging you to get involved in something else, we'd ask you to check next to that ministry or organization of how you might share your time and talent. And we're not putting this out as a guilt list to say, do more and more and more. Sometimes some people are doing so much, what we really need to say to you is slow down, erase one. Because we do believe that charity begins at home and your family and those relationships are primary. But if the Lord has given you some of the gift of time and talent that you could share with your community, these are a number of ministries, and actually we even have more in our parish, but we just highlighted some of these. The ones that are in bold letters, we put them in bold because we have an extra need in those areas. So if you wonder, out of all these, where is the real need? The ones in bold, but there's need in all these. Our music ministries, we have this nice little parish library in the back. Our Eucharistic adoration, we've just been given an extra hour. Consider giving 1 hour a week to praising God in the Blessed Sacrament in our beautiful Eucharistic chapel over in Building E. Religious education, to pass our faith on to the next generation. The best way to learn something is to teach it, to be a witness of your faith to our young people. High school youth ministry, if the Lord puts something in your heart that you enjoy teenagers, we have a core team of adults that are looking for some more people. Our thrift store really that provides the funds that our social concern uses to help those 7,200 families, all comes from the thrift store. It's all volunteers who run that. We could really use a few good men who like to lift things like couches and things like that. For our pickup truck, if you could give one Saturday a month or something like that. And if you like to repair things, we get so many wonderful things, but we need help repairing them. Our social concerns, we're open 2 hours a day, Monday to Friday, to help meet the needs of these many families who come in, to meet them with compassion and love, realizing, hey, you're not one of them, you're one of us, you're one of the least. Habitat for Humanity, we're within the next month or so, we're going to be starting our sixth house. We need many hammerers. Our interfaith community, we go in with six other churches to respond to the needs in the larger community. Recently, we tried to respond to the needs for public transportation. So many people just don't have access to transportation. Ministry to the sick and homebound, the people who come up here to bring communion at the end of Mass, bring communion to those who can't be with us. Transportation, if you could just give somebody a ride to Mass, many people would like to be with us but just can't get here. Our Women's Council, Holy Name Society, our bingo. We are very much in need of helpers at bingo, particularly if you like to cook. We have an excellent snack bar, but we really need some people to help there, as well as working on the floor. And that provides a lot of funds for our parish and school. And of course, our festival that you heard about last week. There may be something that you're interested in that isn't on this list. That's where the other comes in. I know one we don't have on there is welcoming. How do we welcome our new parishioners? If you'd like more information about these ministries, there is a website on there you can look up and it'll give you some more information. Also in our bulletin today, we have a list of the leaders and the contacts for these different ministries. You can call them and ask them about what's involved in that ministry. But if you would return these to us, you can either just fold them and put them in the collection. We have a basket in the vestibule. You could take them back to the church, whatever way. But if you would do that prayer of listening and say, Lord, what are you calling? I started this homily by raising the question, if you could ask the Lord for anything, what would it be? And I'll end it by saying, if the Lord could ask you for anything, what would it be?